Hello to everyone listening. Welcome to My Horse Heart. I'm Carmen, and I'm sitting here today with one of my fellow apprentices, now also an instructor for the Epona Quest work. Last year, I took this apprenticeship with Linda Kohanov in Arizona, and that's how I became an Epona Quest instructor. And I had this fabulous group of people that I attended this with. It couldn't have been a better group. They were all so uniquely amazing. I did one interview a little while ago with Karine Dumont, titled Healthy Heart, Healthy Business, if anyone wants to check that out. But today we have someone else from my group, Micheline Mace, and she's joining us from Alberta, Canada. Micheline is a family mediator, and I'm so grateful to have you here today, Micheline. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's nice to see you and hear you again.
Yes, it's been a while. It's so fun to see people over Skype.
Yeah, exactly. And life has a way of taking you away on a different path sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Micheline, would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I guess when somebody asks what to tell us something about yourself, I would identify myself first as mother of four children and grandmother to two. And I've been an avid horsewoman or horse being since I was little. I would escape to the horses. They were my escape from what I thought was real life, but in fact it's the other round to me. I would say I'm quite introvert. That's how I would identify myself. What else can I say? Yeah, I don't know really what else to say, except that I love nature. I love connecting with nature, and I love living that lifestyle. And I'm really interested in how I approach life now in my 50s. I'm finding there's actually quite a few parallels with when I was literally, you know, maybe 10 or 11 years old. I find there's a lot of parallels that I'm living today.
What kind of parallels?
Basically exploring and be willing to accept what comes. I would explore the countryside. I literally would take off. Thank God my parents were, you know, pretty laid back that way. I lived in a very, very small village in Belgium, and I would literally, I kid you not, just take off. I mean, I couldn't imagine any of my kids doing that today, but I did. And I would literally just follow the little creeks, and I would often hang out with the horses in their shelter. And I wouldn't think about consequences, really. I would really be in the moment, and I'm finding that path again in a lot of areas where I'm not sweating things, and it's really interesting that you're going back to that, and it makes me think of some of the things my mom used to say, that when you get really older, you become a baby again, and in a way that's true. You know, how you look after your babies, and then as people get really old and they may not be as capable of looking after themselves, their own kids or other people start looking after them. And in many ways, there's a lot of the baby behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling like in a way I'm circling back towards that era.
That's really interesting.
Of exploration. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to jump back for a second to something you said in your introduction about yourself, how you're an introvert. And I find the connection between many introverts and horses fascinating. And I have my own experiences with that and perspective on why that tends to be a good match. But why do you think you're more comfortable around horses sometimes than people, maybe?
Because they don't expect anything. There's no expectations. You know, like, let's say I have to go to a wedding this weekend on Saturday. And most of the people who know me well, they know I won't stay very long, because there are expectations of conversation, of yeah, mostly conversation, and a lot of it, even though I want to connect with people, I don't always really see the point in all the conversation that happens. It seems so non-necessary. And, you know, and you don't need that with horses. There's no judgment. There's no expectation. And I think that's why I connect not only with horses, but animals in general, because there's just a state of being. And a lot of people are not comfortable with that state of being. And whether it's horses or dogs or cats, you know, it's just nice. It's really, and I'm sure some long-term married couples may not say a lot either to each other, because they're happy in a state of being. I mean, you know, that's in the comfortable marriages, obviously.
Those are the ones who don't have to come see you.
Yeah, that's right. You know? And it doesn't mean that's bad. You can, you know, sometimes people say, well, see, they're not talking to each other anymore in a restaurant. But why is that bad? It may be that they're just really happy on a very different level, and they're enjoying their supper.
Totally different social expectations.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying, is social expectations that if two people constantly talk, that's somehow better. Sure, you know, it indicates certain type of communication, but that's not the only type of communication. You know? And that's why I'm more comfortable, because there is not that expectation at all.
So the last interview I did touched a bit on self-care, and this is making me think of that. I'm wondering if horses are part of your self-care, and also what else might be involved?
They certainly were. I mean, you're aware of some of the things, the craziness that went on in my life in the last year and a half. That escalated in the last number of months. And I would have to say this is also happens to be the year that I've ridden more than any other year in my life. So just to load up a horse and my dog and I'm gone to the boonies, please and thank you. And I'm an endurance rider. For those who don't know, I'm an endurance rider and competitive trail rider. So,
and for our listeners who don't know anything about horses necessarily, what is endurance riding?
So endurance riding is, it's a bit different than competitive trail, but endurance riding is basically a long distance event, usually. There are several distances that you can ride, either the 25 mile, and this is in miles, not kilometers, miles, 50 miles, 75 miles, 100 miles, and usually that's where it I don't know of any longer distances than that. And you have a certain number, a certain amount of time to complete that in. So you can actually endurance choose to ride it slower. But if you're a competitor, you obviously try to finish first. That being said, there are mandatory vet checks that you have to pass to make sure that your horse can go on. And mandatory holds. Competitive trail has got 25 mile and 50 mile distances, and there are surprise vet checks, and there are no mandatory holds unless you do the 50 miles.
Okay.
But basically, it is an opportunity to be in nature with your horse. Yes, you go at great speeds, but it feels like freedom, like no, you know, nothing else that I've ever experienced when you race through the bush, through land that you normally may not have access to. And you don't have to worry about the path, because all you need to do is follow the ribbons. And that really, as I'm talking here, is actually, I just come to the realization that's pretty much how I'm living life, is I'm not worrying about the path. I know I'll be okay, and I'm following the signs, i.e. the ribbons. I just, as I'm talking, figured out, oh, wait a minute, this is actually very similar to what I'm doing right now.
I like that. So it's a metaphor for life, and it's also such a beautiful combination of all the elements that you were talking about that are close to your heart, you know,
yeah.
Being in nature, having time alone, having time with your horse, having quiet time, fitness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, huge. People don't realize how amazing that is for your body. And And it's also a group of people that, ironically, I have no problems conversing with, because all we talk about is really horses and our state of being with horses and just being around each other. It's amazing that after all these years of doing this sport, I still really talk horses. You think you've said everything. But basically, you go through your experiences and you listen to other people's experiences, and there is a quite level of acceptance. Like, for instance, I rarely join what they do after a race. It's usually they have a campfire, and they sing, and it's not my thing, and it's perfectly fine. You know, I'm not aware of any judgment. I just explained that's just not my thing, and I just shut down. And I've maybe been to one in all the years I've been doing it.
I'm going to change tracks a little bit here. Mm-hmm. You're a mediator, a family mediator, mm-hmm. which is very social.
Uh-huh.
But in a different way. Like, how do you find comfort in that role?
I find comfort because I've feel that I'm hopefully contributing to a road to peace, a road to a peace, more peaceful way of resolving differences that may be there or perceived differences, and that is where my horse time comes in, because it puts things in perspective, and you relay that to your parties.
So in the context of this blog and this podcast, you're really bringing your horse heart to the table.
Exactly. You know, and often we talk about horses, how that relates to horses. And I'm hoping to actually, as I'm establishing my practice in this, I'm hoping to offer it to some of my clients, and certainly to the children of the clients, because I involve children as part of the process.
So, Micheline, how did you get into family mediation?
I managed money for 12 years, and I lost my passion for it. It didn't make any sense how the markets were behaving and how financial planning was approached by individuals, and that there was a lot of emotion. I understood I was able to plug into some of the emotions behind saving, but I wasn't really plugged in enough. It was too much of the cerebral level. And but I didn't realize that at the time. And then one of my clients, who is a family lawyer, asked me in on a file, and they were at an impasse with. And so the two lawyers, the two opposing lawyers, and the two clients were in the same room, and I was there to help bring perspective. And that's when I realized that I could have a role in people moving on with more knowledge and just more tools, and I just felt that I had something to contribute. And you know, I am a yes person. If something comes my way and it feels right, and I knew that I was really losing my reason for being in the financial planning profession, and I decided to just to basically bail. And so I've never been afraid of following the path that I'm shown. And everything and nothing is for naught. It really all builds on one another. You know, everything that I've done in terms of work has all come together. It all culminates into where you end up being, and it all contributes. I think it's if you look at it as failure to continue in a certain profession or whatever, that's really sad, you know, because you're there for a reason. You pick something up, and on you go, you know. That's how I look at it. Everything fits
And I
perfect,
think
and the
that's so
horse.
great to touch on because in this day and age, so many people will switch professions. They might go into something thinking it's going to be their lifelong career, and most people switch at least once. So what kind of qualities does it take to have that courageous yes attitude?
Not identifying with a role, not identifying with, and maybe that's part of my introvert status, is by not accepting what other people think your life should or should not be. But knowing that you have a role to fulfill, and as you age especially, you wonder, what have I contributed? How can I be of help to other people? And right now, you know, especially as the planet feels like it's in such a state of flux, is how can we contribute to a positive movement and the ripple effect? And both the horse work, the Epona Quest work, and the family mediation, to me, have a ripple effect, not necessarily on the people that are going through it, but on their children. And I want to make a difference for the children. And often that's through the parents in the family mediation and also in the Epona Quest work I plan on doing, pro bono work for the schools. So, it's just, that's where I feel it's really important.
That's fantastic. Where do you see yourself going with the Epona Quest work? Like, do you see it integrating or taking over or... really having it separate?
Well, that's I haven't gotten to that ribbon yet.
Yeah, good.
I just know it's going to happen. I can see it. I can feel it. I see the facility. I know that the two will coexist for a period of time. Whether or not one will cease to be and it will go full-time into the other, I'm open. I have no expectations when it comes to that. I just know that they will coexist for a period of time. I have really no clue, and I'm happy with whatever comes. Yeah.
So really putting your talk into practice.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes I don't sleep and I go into panic mode and I go like, oh my God. And, you know, when something happens and it's like a test. But then I think of, for those of you who are familiar with Louise Hay and her work, and she was in her 80s, and I remember her saying, you know, towards the end of your life when you've done a lot of the work, it's all those obstacles, they're now gravel. But occasionally you get a big boulder just to make sure that you're still awake, you know? Something to that effect is what she said. And so then I go like, oh, okay, there's still something there, you know, and it's okay. Just don't sweat it, you know. So, but the horses have been, with the horses too, as far as them coming and going, I have this herd now, and you wonder, you know, what's best. Sometimes we just overthink what the best path is. Not just for your career, but for your horse herd, which is now becoming an integral part in what I do. And even then, it's interesting how those things line up where you want to sell a horse, let's say, and it's just not happening, you know?
Yeah.
So, and others, it is happening, and maybe they'll come back.
I love your perspective on this because change can be one of the hardest things for people to accept and move through in a positive way. And your attitude about it is really inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, it's basically I've started to look at things and my philosophy now is, okay, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to be with? What horses need to come by? You know, and often it's just a voice that's inside or realizing that what you had envisioned isn't happening with the one endurance horse that I really saw myself going to the Tevis Cup, which is the toughest 100-mile ride. And I will complete it. I know that. But it wasn't on the horse I thought. So now another one, you know, like as an aside, came my way. And as soon as I saw him, the thought crossed my mind, oh my God, that's my 100-mile horse.
So it's, you're really keeping your eye out for those ribbons, like you were saying, marking the path.
Yeah, and the trick is not to overthink it, because, and to say, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And this costs too much money, and there's no way I can do this. And, you know, thanks for the ribbon, but I can't go that path type of thing. Whether it's your life, your partner, your horses, your work, I stopped questioning. I just go like, okay, this is the most money I've ever paid for a horse. Hey, let's see what happens. So, you know, it's just, but it all works out.
You're very brave. And I say this knowing you from our apprenticeship and seeing how you faced different challenges that came up as a group, and in the stories you've shared, and of course what you're telling us and our listeners today. And I think bravery, that courage to step forth into the unknown, especially in challenging times, is such an important piece of what I feel makes up a horse heart. And it's really neat to hear you talking about that right now.
Thank you. And that's, I think you and I talked about that before too, is my Epona Quest work will be under the name The Lionheart Project. So look out for the website that's going to come up, which is going to be lionheartproject.ca.
Excellent.
And that will be launched in the fall. But that's really what it is, horse heart with lionheart. The predator and the horse mind can coexist and have to coexist. And, you know, yeah, it's been an incredible journey. It's almost, it feels like Harry Potter, you know, like going to the castle and figuring out, oh my God, what trick is this? Oh, wonderful. Or, and then the other one is like a demon comes out. So it's just like, okay, that's all right. You know?
Or for the Harry Potter fans out there, figure out which staircase to take. And
yeah,
if it's going to lead you to where you think.
But if you don't take the staircase, I mean, really, it's a state of nature. Rigidity is not a normal state of nature. And so what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who or what has inspired you along the way?
Oh, I thought today of the event that opened everything up. And I was managing money at a company, and we were at a company event, and this woman I did a lot of insurance business with came up to me and handed me CDs out of the blue. And we were both very much type A go-getter, top of our game, you know, that type of corporate go-getting type of women who worked till midnight, that, you know, that. She gave me CDs by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I put them in my truck because that's where I usually was, and I can't come up with the title of it now, but it was basically manifesting what you want. And you know, when you're ready for something, you just soak it up and you go like, oh my God, oh yes, and you just can't get enough. Like, you want to go back in the truck so that you can, you know. It opened up a whole other dimension I didn't know was there. So somebody somewhere will give you a clue where you go, aha, go with it. And so I would have to say it all started with Dr. Wayne Dyer. And you will move on to other teachers as they come along. In the horse work, Linda actually came along earlier. I can't remember how on earth, Linda Kohanov. That came along, and then I knew I would meet her one day. And then lo and behold, I went to a one-day event for the family mediation that was set up by the Family Mediation Society, and I was up in Edmonton for one day, and I knew I had to sign up for apprenticeship. And I asked her, would you take me? She said yes, and I just knew. I always felt that that was going to be happening. So along the way, I would say many, many people, anybody really who went through something and by example would inspire me. If you bother to wake up, you see inspiration all around. It's Wayne Dyer may have opened that dimension up for me, or in fact, that my girlfriend, Sarah, is her name. I'm not in touch with her now, but people do come into your life for a particular reason. Some stay in for a season. I don't know what the saying is. Some stay for a day, some stay for a season, some stay for a lifetime. And that is true. And sometimes it's a simple remark out of what seems to be out of the blue by a complete stranger who you will never see again, walking out the door. I still remember going into a facility. A man walks out, looks at me. I've never met him, okay? This is literally somebody opens the door, exits through the door, and says to me, you're only as busy as you want to be, and moves on. Like, I have no clue where this comes from. But these things happen actually all the time, whether it's a song that comes on the radio, a podcast that you happen to hear, a book you happen to pick up. I think inspiration is there all the time.
I really love that attitude.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to looking for those ribbons.
Yeah, you just have to be plugged in, switched on.
Yeah.
And I'm not always switched on, don't get me wrong.
So when you're not switched on, when you're going through a challenging moment or day or season even.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that? How do you get back to being open?
By recognizing what's happening and by not beating myself over the head about it. By rather saying, okay, this is what this is all about. Good call. Alrighty then. So here we are again. So I'll probably put in, right now I have Carolyn Mace in my truck. I always carry something. I have podcasts on my phone. I have CDs in my car, and sometimes I'll put something in. And if it doesn't resonate, I may not even leave it in. Or I put it in and I don't really pay attention, but I know that the vibration of the message is somehow through osmosis going to be permeating in my brain, and just that energy will put me in an amazing mood. I'll find myself smiling.
So by recognizing that you're in a state that you don't want to be in, and then searching for inspiration to get you out of it?
Yes and no. I'm not actually searching. I just first recognize, and by acknowledging, hey, this is what's happening, you take away power. You don't want to push it away. For instance, negative thoughts in themselves to me are not bad. By pushing them away, you actually give them more power. So I allow for, I acknowledge them and say, okay, well, this is what's going through. Hey, you know, what is it that you want to teach me in this case? As soon as I say that, what do you want me to learn from? Then I already know I've turned the corner. But it's if I'm stuck in there, you know, then that's not really great. But just by recognizing, saying, hey, what do you want me to understand about this? How can I look at this differently? That in itself sets you on the right path. And sometimes when you're really deep in it, I'll just grab something and put it in and then either allow for inspiration to happen or, you know, or maybe I just need to be stuck in this. Being stuck is not a bad thing either. Just recognize you're stuck.
Yeah, I like that. And I also like how you talked about asking questions. After the awareness and the recognition, to start asking good questions to help figure out what you need to learn.
Yeah. And what's next?
Yeah.
How can I look at this a bit differently? What's really the opportunity here?
That's fantastic. Is there anything that you'd like to say to our listeners before we wrap up this inspiring interview today?
I think in many ways, I'm happy that my children and I find a lot of the younger generation actually are getting the message sooner. I'm 54, and I know that's a biological age, and I don't feel it, but I'm happy that somehow the younger generation understands this, seems to understand this a little bit earlier, and that a lot of them are not per se in the quest that my generation was in, which is you have to do things in a certain order. If you don't have this and this and this, you haven't really made it. What is the definition of success? And it's more of an allowing of state of being. And I'm finding, personally, I'm seeing the younger generation being quicker with that message and with how they live their lives. And that's really awesome. I'm just really happy about that. Yeah.
That's so good. And I'm sure your mediation clients are really lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Well, Micheline, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope our listeners got a lot of empowerment and motivation and some new tools for their toolbox listening to you. I know it definitely inspired me, especially I love that imagery of finding the ribbons in the forest, finding that path, and, you know, being able to ask the questions so that I can see them again. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. Till next time on My Horse Heart.